Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Live, Love, Learn, and Lead podcast, the podcast dedicated to helping you navigate life's journeys, the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations, and of course, the successes and the highs with purpose and with passion. I am your host, Giovanna Gethers. I am a licensed psychotherapist, a global learning and development facilitator, two-time author, international speaker, conference and retreat host, and I am excited to be here. And I am also thrilled to embark on this journey with you as we dive into discussions around things that affect all of us. Some of our discussions will be more on the corporate or the professional development track, where we'll talk about leadership development, emotional intelligence, psychological safety, things like leading with presence and impact. But then sometimes we will also talk about things about relationships, and that's where the love comes in. How to have more meaningful relationships, how to have deeper connections with people. I was actually attending a training the other day, and that was one of the questions that we were asked was, you know, what prevents us from having true connection with people? And I gave the example of how often we just fail to connect, you know, sometimes not even rudely or maliciously. We've just gotten so used to multitasking that and being distracted that we have sort of forgotten that human connection. And for instance, when you're in a checkout line, you know, how often are you having a whole conversation with the person that's checking you out and you're not making eye contact, neither of you. So you're having this obligatory sort of communication or conversation, but you're not really connecting there. You couldn't tell that person what their eye color is, and they couldn't tell you what your eye color is. And so again, we just lost that connection. So how do we build, how do we become more intentional about building purposeful and meaningful relationships with others? And then, of course, we'll talk about things like mental and emotional health. That's my background. That's my baby. Again, I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and I am just devouring all the information I can get in the field and in the area of neuroscience and peak performance, and just not only how that affects mood and behavior and attitude and that kind of thing, but how does it help us to live bigger lives? How does it help us to show up more fully and more boldly and more courageously in life? And then, of course, you know, we'll talk about learning. I am a voracious reader. I am always reading something. I literally just got finished reading The 5 a.m. Club by a man named Robin Sharma, where he is talking about, exactly as the title says, waking up at 5 a.m. But there's so much science behind that. So I don't want you to just freak out and hear 5 a.m. if they either I'm already getting up at 5 a.m. and I can't do anything else, or I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. But there's a lot of science behind, you know, again, when we think about these distractions and lack of connection, how often are we, if we don't have to get up and immediately go into go mode, like someone like myself, I'm an entrepreneur, so I make my own schedule. And there are times when I may wake up at 7 a.m. I may not have my first client or my first appointment till 10 a.m. And guess what? That 3 hours is just, I might be journaling, I might be scrolling on social media, but I look up and it's already time for my first appointment at 10 a.m. And so that 3 hours has just been utilized. And, you know, if you have children, if you live with another person, a significant other, you often know that, you know, once the house wakes up, once everybody wakes up, once the world wakes up, those demands on your time start to come. You know, I have my phone in sleep mode, and so it won't send me notifications until after a certain time. I think it's 7 a.m. in the morning. But so if I gave myself that 5 a.m. hour to get up, to work out, which is what it proposes, to spend, you know, time in deep reflection, prayer and meditation, and then spend some time in learning and development of myself, because I want to, you know, in order to be a learning and development facilitator, I want to never stop learning. So getting up, I mean, I would have, even before my notifications start coming in, I would literally have a 2 hour period just to work on and dedicate to me. And so what could you do with 2 hours in the morning, every morning, just to dedicate to you? And so you don't have to make that commitment. That is just something that I am seriously considering in my own life, as I look to just level up my game, as I look to expand my business, expand you know, my platform as I just look to create a better version of Giovanna. And so again, we'll be talking about things like that and how that looks in your life. You know, I always want you to self-reflect. Again, in the training the other day on presence and impact, we were talking about self-awareness, and I realized that even though I devoted a portion of my life to self-awareness, there are a lot of people who are very unaware and who really don't even think about self-awareness. They may know certain things like, you know, what is their preference as far as food or their favorite colors or white meat or dark meat or what type of, you know, partner they want. But when it comes to really knowing themselves, really being able to look at themselves and see the good, the bad, and the ugly and own all of that, I find that a lot of people just aren't willing to do that hard work. They don't have the courage, you know, to embark upon that. I think I've never had a choice because for one, the work that I do, you know, as a psychotherapist, I have to be aware of myself, have to be aware of my own triggers and that kind of thing. But also just my life experience has led me to be more self-aware, sometimes more self-conscious. But again, even realizing that sometimes that becomes self-conscious is because I'm more self-aware and being able to differentiate the difference. And even though I want to look at me objectively and authentically, I also want to do that in love and with grace. You know, you don't want to turn self-awareness into just finding a way to nitpick yourself and point out every single flaw, every single fallacy, every single mistake, every single pimple or freckle on your face. You want to take that time to just be real and genuine and authentic with you. But you also want to view that from a place of love, compassion, and acceptance. So again, I will have guests on the show from time to time, experts in their fields, certainly in the field of like DEI or therapy, again, just other coaches. I'm connected with so many incredible, amazing people, other coaches, facilitators, speakers, thought leaders. And so I want to certainly bring their voices to this podcast so that they can help us all to uncover some actionable insights and strategies and different things like that so we can all live a fuller, more fulfilling life, because that's the purpose. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we're here, is to live life more more purposefully and more fully. And but I'll also sometimes just come on and talk about what's on my mind. You know, if I have something going on, if I have something that I want to share, if I'm feeling particularly inspired by something, I want to come on and I want to just have those podcast episodes available as well. I struggled, you know, with what I wanted to cover in this second episode, because honestly, I've been doing this since 2017 when I first started my Facebook Live show. And most of that was around my first book that I was like, Bad Boys, knowing your dating habits. Like, why do you find yourself dating the same person, but they just have a different name? And even though it might start out in the beginning and it looks so different, you end up facing some of those same or very similar patterns and problems and obstacles. And so how to recognize that and how to break those patterns so that you begin to attract differently, so that you begin to behave and engage differently in your relationships. And so a lot of that was around the book. And then, of course, I released my second book in 2020, Epiphany, The Journey to Self-Discovery. And that is just packed with so many life lessons around self-love, self-validation, trust in the leadership field. Like, we're talking so much lately about trust and high trust teams and building trust and all of that. And I joke with a lot of my classes that I lead, and I say, you know, 20 years ago, no one was talking about trust when it came to the workplace. It just wasn't talked about. Emotional intelligence, empathy, those things weren't talked about. But now we're having those very relevant and very necessary discussions around things like trust. Well, trust shows up in all of your relationships, not only the ones that you have in the workplace, but certainly the ones you have personally. Trust between you and your significant other, trust between you and your children, trust between you and all the other significant relationships in your life. So what does trust look like? How do you build trust? Do you trust but verify? Or do you go into a situation distrusting and then that person has to earn your trust? I had someone in one of my classes say that he starts everyone at a 5, and then based on the, you know, the interactions and them keeping their word, they either go up to a 10 in trust, which is a lot of trust, or they go down to a 0, which is no trust. So how do you approach things like trust? I literally covered, I had a 6-week series just on trust, believe it or not. So my problem today was that I just had so much content, so much information from my books, from talks that I've done, from speaking engagements that I've done, that I didn't know where to start. I was having analysis paralysis, so to speak, where I was just overthinking, overanalyzing, not sure where to go. I didn't want to have episode 2 be all over the place. I got such an incredible reaction to episode 1, which was really just a launch. It really wasn't an episode. It was just a pilot. And so I want you to be thinking about some things like this. Like if you're going to follow this podcast, if you're going to subscribe, and I hope you will. I hope you've also already done so. If not, go ahead and do that now. But if you want to follow it, what are some areas of your life that you want to level up in? You know, is it your relationships? Is it being open to continuously learning about things like AI, not being immediately put off or not being intimidated by new technology, crypto, Bitcoin, all those things, because everything is figureoutable, right? You may not become an expert or a subject matter expert in all areas, but you certainly can have some level of working knowledge to where you are no longer intimidated or threatened by technology or by, you know, emerging things, you know, in whatever field, whether that's in your workplace or outside of it. So again, what are some areas that people want to talk about? Imposter syndrome is a big one. I too have struggled with that. And I was realized that I was in very good company when I realized that people like Cameron Diaz and Oprah Winfrey, that they have admitted to Angelina Jolie, that they too have struggled with imposter syndrome. And one of the things that I will say that came to me when I was really thinking about imposter syndrome, and I was meditating on it one day, and the insight, the epiphany that came to me is that you were born to be who you are. I was born to be who I am. And so I have like this blueprint. We all have this blueprint that whether you believe in God or not, or your creator, whatever you call that, but that there's an original design. So I do a lot of work with BMW manufacturing. And so obviously when they build a car, they're building that car from a design. Your house, when you build a new home, you're looking at a blueprint, a design of what that finished product will look like. Well, when you and I are created, there is an original blueprint. There's an original design. And so that design, not saying that we can't deviate from that, I don't think it's definitive or anything like that. But I think there's a general framework. You know, we know our temperament, our habits, we know, you know, again, our preferences and all of that. And so if we stick to that, you know, if we follow the design of our lives, then we more than likely will get to, you know, our destiny, our divine destiny. But obviously we can choose not to do that. We can make decisions that take us away from our destiny. But my point of saying that is that the real imposter is not being who we're created to be. It's playing at being something or someone else. I have a favorite saying in therapy that healing isn't about becoming someone or something that you are not. It's unbecoming someone or something that you were not. And so it's getting through the lies, the illusions. Myron Golden, who's a famous business consultant and minister, I believe, but he talks about having a lie identity, and not identity, but lie identity, and your lie identity being composed of all the things that people have told you you couldn't do, all those external limitations from peers, from teachers, from your parents or other adults in your life or other relationships, you know, that you've had, friendships or whatever, romantic relationships. So all the things people that have told us that we're not, that we bought into and that we believe is our true identity, but which is really our lie identity. So, you know, that is the real imposter. The imposter isn't. Imposter syndrome is thinking that you're going to be found out and that you're going to be exposed as a fraud. So as you go up the ladder in your workplace, or you keep getting promoted, or your business takes off, or you know you're at the top of the Billboard music charts, or all of a sudden you wake up and you've gone viral, or you've gotten that first Oscar award or whatever it is, but you start to feel like you don't deserve it, like you're not worthy, and that everyone is going to find out that you're a fraud. So you're an imposter. So you're an imposter in your own life, and everyone is going to discover that you're really not as good or as gifted or as talented as you pretend to be or as you appear to be. But again, the real imposter is playing smaller than who and what we are, playing smaller than our God-given potential. It is when we don't show up. When we minimize, when we tone down, when we diminish, I realize that even in my own life, there have been so many instances where I have undermined me, where I'm the one that underestimated me. If I was submitting a proposal, maybe I underbid because I was afraid that it would get rejected or the person would say no. And so maybe, I would go low because I wanted it. I really wanted it. And I wasn't strong or confident enough to stand on my worth and my value. So I underbid my own self. And I can remember one time speaking at an event in Savannah, and it was with a former colleague of mine. And when I told him what I had requested to be paid, he said, "Wow, I wish you and I had had a conversation around that before you submitted your quote." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I would have let you know that they would have paid three times that amount." And so that was eye-opening for me. But I recently went through this awakening, this realization of how many times I had undermined me. I had underplayed me. I had underestimated me. You know, sometimes we do it because we don't want to offend other people. We don't want to appear like we have it all together, or we don't want people to think that we think we're all that. We don't want people to reject us or talk about us or criticize us or ridicule us. And so therefore we lower esteem ourselves. We call it humility, but I've realized that it's actually not genuine humility. It's a sense of false humility. I use the example of Jesus that, you know, Jesus may not have walked around bragging. I mean, he bragged on the Father, but he didn't brag on himself. But guess what? On the other hand, he never self-deprecated either. He didn't walk around feeling like woe is me and talking victim talk either. And so there is a humility, and then there is a false humility. And I think when it's genuine humility, that's amazing. But when it's a sense of false humility, and what it really is self-deprecation, then that certainly needs to be addressed. And that's something that maybe we have to work through. So again, you know, the real imposter is not being the amazing, incredible, fantastic human being that we were all created to be, whatever that is. If that's being the best housewife in the world, or the best accountant, or the best at digging ditches, or building homes, or laying bricks, or cutting grass, or being an exterminator. But you are giving 100% of you to whatever your craft is, whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, whatever industry that you are in. And again, that is how we become an imposter, is because we are not being who we genuinely and divinely have been created to be. And so I would encourage everyone to look at those areas in your life that you are not being true to you, that you are still underbidding, you are still underestimating, you're still underesteeming, you are still almost waiting for someone else to tell you what you're worth, to determine your value for you. And honestly, y'all, I think at the core of that is this innate feeling that we are somehow inherently flawed or defective or just not good enough. And so, you know, we need other people to say that we're good enough to believe it. But then that doesn't work either, because then we continually need other people to do that for us. And then, of course, we get into that whole need for external validation, and we get into the whole approval seeking and people pleasing thing. So again, this isn't about walking around being arrogant or egocentric or not not listening to the advice or the words of others, but it's also developing that self-awareness, knowing you from the inside to the outside, not just knowing, you know, your eye color, not just knowing what your favorite flavor of ice cream is, but knowing what makes you tick, knowing what triggers you, knowing what makes you feel passionate, what wakes you up in the morning, knowing those things and then embracing those things and living those things. There are 8 billion people on the planet, and each of us is unique, and each of us has unique value to add to the world. That's why you're here, because you're an essential part. So anybody that's feeling like, I don't know why I'm here, I don't know what purpose I'm serving, you are serving a purpose. Nature has a way of ridding itself of things that no longer serve a purpose. So you are serving a purpose if you are still breathing. And but again, figure out those areas of your life where you are not fully showing up, where you are not bringing your A game, where you don't have the Mamba mentality like Kobe Bryant, any area that you're still second guessing, that you're still doubting, that you're still playing small. And I want you to make a commitment to do the work, find out why. Where does that come from? What's the root of it? All of those things have a root. You weren't born that way. And so what is the root of it? And then again, do the work, whether that's therapy, getting an exceptional life coach like myself, but getting a great life coach, speaking with a trusted friend, journaling, whatever your method of healing and self-improvement is, do the work. There's lots of material out there. You go to the self-help section now, whether online or in the bookstore. And it's huge because we're all trying to level up this thing called life. So again, I want you to make that commitment to yourself. So this has been episode 2. And before we close today, of course, I want to encourage you to connect with me. If you have not subscribed, please go ahead and do that now. I also want you to connect with me on all my social media. I am on TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn at I Am Giovanna Gethers. And of course, I am Giovanna Gethers on Facebook, and my YouTube channel is I Am Giovanna Gethers on YouTube. So make sure you go there and subscribe. Make sure you connect, follow me, because I will be sharing and dropping episodes, and hopefully they'll be relevant. Everyone may not be relevant to you, but even if that episode isn't relevant to you, then send it to someone that might find value in it. I'm also excited to announce that I will be speaking at some amazing events coming up. April 13th, I will be speaking at the Boss Lady Tea Party with Miss Sharon Sutton, which is going to take place in Greenville, South Carolina. And then on April 18th, I will be speaking at Relentless Church in Greenville, South Carolina, with Pastor Aventer Gray at the Relish Women's Conference, The Soul of a Woman. And on April 23rd, I will be leading a workshop entitled Courageous Conversations with Greater Good Greenville and several nonprofit leaders in the Greenville, South Carolina area. But I am available to speak all over. So if you would like for me to speak on a podcast as a guest or on your platform, or again, if you want to just find out more information about what I speak about and what I teach on, then certainly you can visit my website at GiovannaGethers.com. And that is my first and last name, as you see on the screen, .com. And there you will find a list of all the things that that I speak on, as well as events and different things like that. I host my own women's conference, which is going to be coming back in November. It is called the Live, Love, Lead, and Thrive Women's Conference, the Breathe Women's Conference, Live, Love, Lead, and Thrive. And so I'm super excited about that. We haven't had it since 2019, so we're coming back in 2024. But as I draw to a close, remember that each moment of your life, each moment of every day is an opportunity for you to live more fully, for you to love more authentically, for you to learn continuously, and for you to lead with courage and authenticity. So thank you again for joining me. Until next time.